The views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Yeah, welcome back to the Drive Time. That was a little bit of John Fogerty from 1985, the song, of course, Center Field. Joining me in the studio are Jeff Gard, who is the sports reporter. And actually, in the last couple of weeks, you've been a managing editor for the for Northumberland Today.
Last quite a while, yes.
And Rob Washburn, who is our professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College, a regular co-host here at Consider This Live. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave.
So, Jeff, sports. I mean, we're coming off of some pretty interesting events here in Coburg. We had the big junior game. Of course, that was before the new year, right?
Yep.
And that was a huge success, obviously.
It was, yeah.
And now we've got some other great things coming up, too. We got a bond spiel, I understand, that's probably coming our way. But you want to talk about lacrosse first.
Yeah. You know, Coburg's now home to a major series lacrosse team. They have relocated from Kitchener-Waterloo, and they'll play. People would be familiar with the Peterborough Lakers, so that's the league they'll be playing in. And
Well, that's cool, because you see those Laker games on TV Kojiko. They always play those games.
Yes.
And maybe we'll get a chance to see Coburg playing up there or vice versa.
Well, I believe Kojiko will be airing the games here as well.
Nice.
Yes. So,
a bit of a coup there for the team all around in terms of media coverage.
I haven't heard that for sure, but I know that's their intent. And
Nice.
Yeah.
So I heard that they held a game, just an exhibition game here a couple weeks back.
No, it would have been last season. They actually hosted a major series lacrosse regular season game between Peterborough and actually it was Kitchener-Waterloo
time.
Is that right? You know, just as part of their minor lacrosse tournament weekend, and it did very well.
Is that right? I heard something like, what was it, 1,800 spectators?
It was up around there. And,
wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, what sort of attendance do they get at the Cougars games? What do they get, about 522 a game? Is their average last season?
Yeah, I mean, it's usually a few hundred. It depends on the game, but
so that's comparatively, that's incredible.
Yeah, well, yeah. They did very well. I mean, I know they had. It was a good way to get the minor lacrosse players involved. They gave them tickets to anyone that wanted them, and it gave them a chance to see some very high level lacrosse right here in Cobourg. So
my grandfather was always a huge lacrosse fan. So joining us on the line right now is our special guest, John Webb. John, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, guys.
Very, very glad to have you here. Now, why don't you tell the listeners who you are, and then we'll move forward. Like, Jeff's already familiar with who you are.
For sure. I'm the Vice President of Operations and the newest GM of the Cobourg Kodiaks in the Major Series Lacrosse.
Awesome. And so I guess you were instrumental in bringing the team to the town.
Yes, it all started last year when we hosted a regular season game between the Kitchener-Waterloo Kodiaks and the Peterborough Lakers. We had just over 1,600 fans in attendance, and the atmosphere was amazing. Wow. So it kind of created the discussion with the former owner, Mr. Alan Orth, whether he would be willing to sell the team and relocate it here.
How ecstatic was the team to be relocated? Are we getting, is it the same team, or how does that work?
Yeah, actually, we get all the players. So it's very similar roster to what they played with last year, and they had a great young competitive roster last year.
So we can look forward to some pretty competitive lacrosse then. I mean, and for those folks that aren't familiar with lacrosse, because a lot of people, for whatever reason, aren't, it really is, I mean, it's a lot like hockey, I guess, but it's a lot more fast. It's a way faster game, in my estimation, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. It's called the fastest game on 2 feet.
Right.
And, you know, it dates back 500-600 years ago when, you know, the Native Canadians played it, and it was a way to settle disputes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So between warring factions. I guess not unlike the way they used to play that basketball or that ball game down in the Incas, with the Incas, right? It's very similar
there.
Exactly.
Very similar. That's right. And it's evolved into quite a skilled, aggressive game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually Canada's national summer sport.
I was wondering if you could tell me, it's Rob Washburn here. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about this Major Series lacrosse and how many teams are involved, and tell us a bit about the league itself.
Sure. Major Series lacrosse is composed of two components. There's an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference, primarily out of British Columbia. There's six teams in the Eastern Conference and seven in the West. So you have playdowns in the East and West, and then the two champions from each division meet for the Man Cup. And what's interesting about the Man Cup is it's the oldest trophy in Canada. It dates back to the late 1800s.
Good out.
Really? So it's the longest played for trophy in Canadian history? Because everyone assumes it's the Stanley Cup, right?
No, it's in fact, it's I think entering its 128th season this season.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of history, and a lot of great athletes have vied for that cup over the years.
Now, could you tell us a little bit more about the Kodiaks team and maybe some of the players and some of their strengths and challenges?
Sure. Right now, actually, many of our players play in the National Lacrosse League, which is the Winter Professional League, which most listeners would be familiar with through the Toronto Rock.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We currently have, I think it's 11, no, you know what, 12 current rostered players from the Kodiaks are with National Lacrosse League teams. So these guys are the best players in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you give us an average age of the players and the level of experience that they have?
Yeah, our average age is really young. The former GM, Steve Dietrich, who was a Hall of Fame goalie himself, really stockpiled young talent and draft picks for us, and obviously didn't do it for us over the years, but he was a genius at doing that. So our average age is probably 24 and some really great young talent. We have a goalie, for example, who's the starting goalie for the Buffalo Bandits. He's 23 years old, Dave DiRuccio. And he's a world-class goalie.
Incredible, incredible. Now, in terms of making the transition, what are some of the things that have to happen before the team gets down here and they settle in Cobourg?
Well, it started, yesterday our tickets went on sale. So you can buy your tickets at CobourgKodiaks.ca. And we also announced myself as the general manager for the 2016 season. And now the search begins for coaching staff. And I think that's going to be our biggest challenge, in that we want a really respectable coach who's going to give instant credibility to our lineup and to our team.
Can you share some of the candidates that you're looking at?
I won't share names exactly, but I can tell you that we were overwhelmed by the interest, and the level of experience was amazing. All have professional coaching and playing experience.
When do you hope to have an announcement around the coaching staff?
We're hoping by the end of February. Mm-hmm. We'd like to have our coaching staff in place by the end of February.
And when does the season start for you guys?
Our home opener, our home regular season opener, is Sunday, May 29th versus the Oakville Rock. Okay. And we play at 6 p.m. on Sunday nights at the Coburg Community Center.
And that's every week it's on Sundays?
That's correct. Now, the only difference is this year we're going to be hosting a another major series lacrosse game for the Northumberland Minor Lacrosse Association during their annual tournament. Mm-hmm. So that'll be on a Saturday night to coincide with their tournament.
How would you characterize what it's the local lacrosse initiative? I know that's rather new in our area.
Yeah, actually, I started that in 2011 because there was just no lacrosse in the area. And there's just too many young, great athletes out there not to be playing such a great sport. Mm-hmm.
How many young people do you have involved in the local lacrosse league?
We're consistently averaging close to 500 registrations every season.
500 registrations. So how many teams would that be? And what about gender and ages?
Yeah, we're in all ages, right from 3 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, I think, 34 house league teams last year with 7 rep teams. And we actually have about 60 girls playing in an all-girls division.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Yeah, it's quite amazing.
Yeah, John, talk about the growth of that, because I believe everyone was together when you first started, but the girls program grew really quickly, possibly even as early as your second season.
Yeah, I was amazed at second season, Jeff, when all the girls started signing up and basically demanding that they have their own division. And the rules are exactly the same for boys' box and girls' box. It's full contact.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls really adapted to that game.
Well, I know a number of local girls here who've played lacrosse here. My son actually played house league lacrosse for a little while. And you really get an appreciation of the athleticism of this sport. And, I mean, I watch people play hockey, and hockey's a majestic sport. But the amount of energy exerted by these kids, and as you say, as young as 3, some of them. And, I mean, they're full-on out there. And, I mean, their time, if you want to call it playtime, I guess it's ice time in hockey. I mean, it's a quick couple of minutes. You're in, you burn as much energy as you can in that time. And then, you know, you're out it really is. I got to say, probably, as you say, it's the fastest sport on 2 legs. It really is. I mean, if you blink, you miss some incredible action.
Yeah, and when you go up in skill level, it just gets that much faster because the ball's doing all the work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, you know, it's the best crossover sport for hockey. And you can name just about any Hockey Hall of Fame player, and they all played lacrosse. Right down from Gordie Howe to Wayne Gretzky. And so on. It's just amazing how the two sports are intertwined throughout history.
Now, how closely affiliated is your organization then with Northumberland Lacrosse or Northumberland Minor Lacrosse? I mean, I know in Northumberland there's the Nemesis of various house league teams. I'm looking at a website right now which talks about you guys in sort of the same thing. So is there a very tight relationship between that sort of junior, if you will, house league stuff and what you guys are bringing to the table?
Yeah, absolutely. The other two owners, Eric Graham and Chris Galbraith, are also on the executive board of the Northumberland Minor Lacrosse.
Right.
And again, we've been here doing that for years, just trying to build up the game because it's such a great game. Now, bringing in the professional players will just give those young players mentors and players to look up to strive to be like.
What sort of money are we talking about to bring a team like this down here, and what sort of investment gets made?
It's a substantial investment. Again, I'm not going to talk specifics just because it wouldn't be fair to the other owners and the former owner, but it is a significant investment on our part.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in it for the long haul, and you know, the town of Coburg has been so supportive in that respect, and they understand that this is a long-term process for us, and we're here to build, the sport, our team, and our goal is ultimately to win the Man Cup.
What do you look for when you're locating a team, and what sort of things when you say, okay, we want to bring this here, and what goes into the decision-making process? What sort of things are you looking for? Places, people, what puts it all together for you?
You know, Coburg in Northumberland County has the perfect ingredient for this type of team. They have a fan base. They're getting more knowledgeable about the game of lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
We do have very close competition in the Peterborough Lakers and the Brooklyn Redmen.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have an arena that is basically empty during the summer other than the minor lacrosse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all those ingredients together, it was just a perfect fit.
If I was somebody who's never gone to a lacrosse game or had this experience, what would be the best way to approach, say, coming as a first-timer?
The game really sells itself. It's really hard to describe the amount of, like you said, athleticism, skill, agility, aggression, and it's just a great combination of everything put together. And somebody told me once that, you know, they went to the game, they bought a seat, but they only used part of it because it was just end-to-end action.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I just want to remind the listeners, you're listening to The Drive Time right here on Northumberland 89.7. My guest on the telephone is John Webb, and he is the CEO and general manager. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Of Coburg's brand new major series lacrosse team, the Coburg Kodiaks. And just for the information of folks that are out there listening, you can get season tickets already. They're already available. Season tickets for adults are $115, for seniors, $80, for children and youth, it's $40. And you can get family packages as well, family deals for $300. When will individual tickets start to be sold, John?
They should be available online fairly shortly. We're starting our season ticket campaign now, and it should be within, I'm going to say, days, if not a couple weeks, mm-hmm. To get our single game packages available.
How many games do you play over a season?
We're going to host 9 regular season games at the CCC, and we're actually in negotiations right now to host an exhibition game with the Peterborough Lakers on Thursday, May 19th.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Cool. So that'd be like a week before, or a little more than a week before your season opens.
That's right. And it's to give those young guys a chance to show what they can do in an exhibition stage in Major Series Lacrosse.
Yeah, and John, just talk about your previous experience as a player. You actually played for the Peterborough Lakers, and talk about the rivalry that could develop between the new Coburg team and Peterborough.
The rivalry is going to be instant. We've actually made a trade just recently for 2 Peterborough Laker players who are dynamite young guys, and we're really excited to have them on board to join us to create that rivalry. As for myself, I played Junior A in Peterborough for a couple of years, and then Senior A for the Lakers for a couple of years, and just a great experience. The knowledge base in Peterborough is unlike any other city or town that I've ever played in, and it's quite exciting playing there because every fan knows the game so well.
Well, now we're going to be looking at the Battle of the Liflocks, or the Battle of Rice Lake between the two communities, right?
That's right.
That's sort of that faction there. I want to thank you for giving us a call, by the way, John. Now I'm looking at your schedule right now. You got 7 games showing on the roster so far. Folks can go right to the website, Northumberland West. Actually, I got this info from Snap, but you can go right to the Kodiaks website directly, and that is CoburgKodiaks.ca. That's their home there. You can check out ticket prices, all of the other great news and events. Did you have something else you wanted to add there, Jeff?
We're going to have, we're partnering a little bit with the Northumberland Minor Lacrosse in that they're hosting an in-person registration for minor lacrosse on Sunday, February 28th at the CCC from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're going to have some players there on hand that day, and they're going to be signing autographs and giving some Kodiaks gear away.
I was going to say, people are going to be looking for the swag, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely looking for the swags. Well, again, I wish you guys all the greatest success. And to be honest with you, I hope to be able to get to a few of the games because I really actually like lacrosse. Watch it. There really is nothing like it. It's that fast and that exciting. And it shouldn't be too difficult to build some type of rivalry, as you say, between Peterborough and Coburg. That's for sure. John Webb, thank you very much for giving us a call. And thank you for being on our show today.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great night.
Good luck this year.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
All right, so the goal is to win the Man Cup. And, you know, one thing I didn't ask him was who won it last year and how often does Ontario, because, again, it's the East versus West. And it totally, as soon as I hung up the line, we got to take a quick break. You are listening to The Drive Time right here on Northumberland 89.7. This is Truly Local Radio. We are talking sports. Our guest is Jeff Gard. And stick around. We got some more great stuff coming your way right after this break. Welcome back to The Drive Time. My guest in the studio is Jeff Gard. He is the sports editor for Northumberland Today. And and Rob Washburn, who's our regular co-host here for Consider This Live every Wednesday. I'm Dave Glover. You're listening to Truly Local Radio. Rob, I know you had a question.
Yeah, Jeff, just standing back and listening to what was said earlier about the team by John Webb, how do you put it in the context of all the other sports that are going on and sort of the chemistry of the various baseball, soccer, field hockey, rugby, all the other sports? How does it fit?
I think it'll be a great fit, and you know, it'll be something new in the summertime for people to go out and enjoy. I mean, yes, there's lots of minor sports, mm-hmm. but this will be people love going out and watching hockey in the winter, and this will be, you know, the equivalent of that in the summertime.
I was trying to put it in sort of context of you know, how does it compare to, say, the hockey, where we have our team here, the Cobra Cougars, and then, of course, there's the OHL and all that kind of stuff above it. And you were saying that this is actually very high level, a national level sports?
Yeah, and even just like John was saying, there's a lot of National Lacrosse League players, which is the, you know, the top level that come and play in major series lacrosse during the summertime. The Peterborough Lakers, for example, they have, you know, Sean Evans. He is probably the best lacrosse player in the world right now and, you know, NLL player, but local fans are going to get the chance to see him in Cobourg now.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, and just to answer a question I had last year, the Cup went, and it was in December in the sixth game. It went to the Victoria Shamrock, who won it in the West. Just some more information on the Cup. The Man Cup is the trophy awarded to seniors lacrosse champions in Canada. The championship is a best of seven. East versus West, it is a major series lacrosse, East-Western Lacrosse Association. Here's something, though, folks. The original trophy, which is located in the Canadian Lacrosse Hall of Fame, is one of the most valuable in all sports. It's made of gold, folks, solid gold, and it's said to be worth more than $60,000 Canadian. So that's something. That definitely kicks the heck out of the Stanley Cup, even though the Stanley Yes. Cup is the one everyone thinks about. It was originally donated by Sir Donald Mann in 1910, and prior to that, the Minto Cup was the senior amateur championship trophy. The cup was originally a challenge trophy, but in 25, the new Westminster Salmon Bellies turned the trophy over to the Canadian Lacrosse Association, who instituted a national playoff system. So again, interesting also to note that the first Inside Man Cup was played at Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto, and that was in 1932. So it is a well-regarded, well-respected international trophy and quite possibly one of the most valuable, if not the most valuable, at 60,000 Canadian. That's great. You don't hear, most of the cups you see out there are silver or they make them every year, like the Vince Lombardi trophies made. I believe they make a new one of those every single year for the Super Bowl. Only in Canada do we say, hey, no, let's just pass it around, right? And, you know, I mean, even the Davis Cup and things like that, it's not the same cup as before. As John said, this is the oldest trophy awarded in sports. So hopefully it will be coming to Cobourg. If not this season, maybe in the next season or two. We've got some very strong young players, as he said, some guys coming from the Lakers. That's going to build on that rivalry. Hopefully that'll work because nothing sells tickets like a rivalry.
And it's interesting that, you know, local hockey fans, they'll remember Dylan Goddard. He played for the Cobra Cougars. He is also a very good lacrosse player, and he is now a part of the Cobra Kodiaks, so he'll be returning to Cobourg in a new sport. So
it's really interesting, too. I mean, both hockey and lacrosse are games of hand-eye coordination.
Oh, yeah.
So you can see how the two of them would play off of each other to strengthen a player's abilities, both in terms of athleticism, but also in terms of their excellence as athletes, you know? It makes a lot of sense.
Well, we should move on to hockey, I guess, and we can talk about the Cobra Cougars. And I know they are struggling right now for a playoff spot, which is a far cry from last year. I mean, last year they dominated, if one could say that.
Yeah, but they, you know, they lost a lot of players from last year. So when you have that kind of a turnover, you know, it takes a while to, you know, rebuild, so to speak. And, you know, a lot has happened during the year. Their head coach accepted a job at the Canadian university level. So, you know, that changes things quite a bit as well. So, yeah, it's been a different kind of season. And they have three regular season games remaining. And, you know, they need to win as many of those as possible to have a shot at the playoffs.
Jeff, what were some of the bright spots you saw over the season? I mean, I know that there's been all the turmoil and the rebuilding process, but where are you seeing the gems in this situation?
You know, they, I think it's a lot of it. They're just trying to build their roster up to, you know, you can't look past the current season that they're in, but next year that they host the RBC Cup, which is the, you know, Canadian championship. Mm-hmm. So they'll get an automatic berth in that. And, you know, they need to get through this rebuild quick because you need to, you know, ice a competitive team when you're hosting a tournament of that caliber. As far as the bright spots, they, the coaching staff that took over, they've seemed to, you know, keep things as normal as possible. They didn't change too much. But it's just been a, yeah.
How traumatic is it for a team to go through that? Because again, you know, when you see, we've seen a lot of players leave. We saw the coach leave. We see, it's like it's being reconstituted as a new team all over again. Mm-hmm. That's got to be difficult for some of the returning players.
Absolutely. And I know another challenge that they've had this season, a lot of injuries and that, you know, that's tough to overcome as well. It gives other players a chance to step up, but, you know, when you don't have your regular lineup, it certainly...
But have you seen any particular players sort of stepping up in the way that you've spoke about and sort of shining over this season?
Yeah, they've had a... You know, they acquired two players from Northern Ontario last offseason, and they've really, you know, been two of their key players. That's Brendan Locke and Brennan Roy. Brendan's a defenseman. He's leading the team in scoring right now. But Brendan, he just accepted a NCAA scholarship to Cornell, an Ivy League school, starting the 2017 season there. So, you know, that's a big deal when these players get those scholarships. And that means he'll be around next year as well when they compete for the RBC Cup.
So if you were behind the bench, what would you be looking to do to get the team ready for next year?
For next year? Well, you know, it'll just depend who's back. You know, you're always bound to lose some players. So I think the biggest thing right now as they work towards the playoffs is consistency because they got a big win on Monday against Kingston, one of the top teams in the league. Mm-hmm. However, they lost the night before to Pickering, who are well out of a playoff spot, and you can't, you know, necessarily do that at this time of year. And,
yeah, it's got to hurt to lose to a team that doesn't have a chance. Right?
No, so, and you got a team like, for instance, the Stouffville Spirit, who look to be out of it completely, and they've won seven of their last eight games, and they're
in contention.
They're right there. We got four teams right now within about a point of each other going for the last three spots.
Is that
so,
right, eh?
So every point is critical in these last three games. They play in Markham Friday night. Mm-hmm. Next Monday night at home, they face Newmarket, and they're one of those four teams. So that's going to be a big one here in Cobourg on Monday night, and then they'll finish the season off against Kingston.
So again, for the listeners that want to, you can check out these games. I mean, I don't know that they're sold out or not, but they're all at the CCC. Cobourg's game on Friday is in Markham, so you can jump on the bus and trip on down. I think do they still have a fan bus?
They often do for playoff games. I haven't heard of any for these last couple road games of the regular season, but playoffs they usually do.
Well, if they want to get them to the playoffs, they're going to need their fan base. They're going to need people on that bus.
Absolutely.
So this is just me putting a word in the ear of the coach, hopefully, if he's listening tonight, that maybe you may want to make room for some loyal fans to join you on the bus and head on down to Newmarket, or to Markham, rather. And also, for the listeners that want to come on out to the CCC on Monday, you can cheer them on against Newmarket. So we are looking for it. And we got an interesting quote here, you know. We don't look to the scoreboard. We don't like to scoreboard watch too much, but it's hard not to notice what they're all doing best. And it was one of those things that if we take care of business, everything should be taken care of. But you can't get caught up watching other teams hoping for wins and losses. And I guess that's really where the struggle lies when you're fighting for a playoff spot, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's what Corey had to say to me the other day, and they have to worry about themselves first. You know, you can't worry about, like, for instance, tomorrow night, Stouffville and Newmarket are playing, and that's a huge game because, again, two teams that are among those four. And but Coburg can't worry about what happens there because.
Well, how beneficial is it for Coburg, depending on who wins that game? I mean, they're all fighting for the same spot, right?
Yeah, it's actually Corey. He's a co-head coach, and he said the only thing they can really hope for is it doesn't go to overtime because then both teams get at least 1 point, and you don't want that. So someone's got to win, or they could tie and each only get a point. But
now, would that be a benefit for Coburg if they tied?
If they tied, probably yes, because at least any points you can. Not give up to these teams, you know, is a bonus for sure because, you know, it's hard to say what's going to happen down the stretch here.
No kidding, eh?
True enough. Well, and of course, now Port Hope, the Panthers, are doing great this season now. And we should probably move on to a quick conversation on what's going on with those guys. But before we do that, I am going to take our last break of the hour. I figure we'll get it in early. Make everybody happy, the sponsors and the station. You're listening to Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio. I'm Dave Glover. With me in the studio, Jeff Garr, the sports journalist for Northumberland Today, and Rob Washburn, professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College. Stick around for more exciting conversation. We will be talking about the Port Hope Panthers coming up, so stick around. I hope you're as riveted as we are here at Northumberland 89.7. Welcome back to the Drive Time. And joining me in studio, Jeff Gard and Rob Washburn. We have been talking about lacrosse, and we talked about the Coburg Cougars. But we should move on to the Port Hope Panthers because they are just having a stellar season.
Absolutely.
What a house on fire they are, right?
Yes.
Holy cow. So they're last year's champions, right?
They won the Empire Junior Sea Hockey League, the local league that they play in. And they went all the way to the...
Schmaltz Cup.
Yes. Ontario... Yeah. Junior C Championship, lost in seven games, but, you know, they're back making another run at it this year. They only lost five games out of 40 in their regular season.
Wow.
You know what? They actually lost, I think it was three of their first seven, and then only two games the rest of the way. They had a 13-game winning streak at one point, and right at the end of the season, they had a 17-game unbeaten streak, so... That'll carry you a long way.
That will definitely carry. So obviously they're not fighting for a berth in the playoffs.
No. And the biggest thing with them, I think they turned over 16 players. So 16 players on last year's roster weren't back this year. So, you know, early in the season, they were shorthanded a bit. You know, it took a while to get their roster set. But they did.
Well, it's interesting because we talked about how difficult Coburg has had it with replacing their roster, essentially.
Yep.
And here we've got, because I'm sitting here going, the only reason, in my mind, I'm thinking the only reason Coburg's not going any further is because they got to rebuild. It's a brand new thing. But Port Hope's had to do the same thing, ultimately.
Yeah.
Yep. What do you think the success has been? What's the key to it?
You know, I think the way the coaching staff coaches them, every year that they've been... You know, at the helm, the Panthers seem to have success. You know, there were some tough years as well, but with this group, they seem to get them to buy into whatever system they want them to play, and they've done well. Another big thing, too, you know, they had two brand-new goaltenders. You don't know how that's going to go. Mm-hmm. But the Panthers actually only allowed 72 goals in the 40 games, which is, you know, almost unheard of because, you know, less than two goals a game. And I know Matt's going to be joining us here.
He is, actually. We do have Matt on the line. We're going to go right to Matt Goody. And Matt, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you, Jeff?
It's Dave Glover here. Welcome back. Welcome to the show. Matt is the coach.
Matt is the head coach, yes.
Of the Port Hope Panthers. Matt, why don't you take us through the season and tell us how you guys have managed to pull off this again, back-to-back seasons of just incredible, entertaining hockey.
Well, I mean, like this year, we've replaced 16 guys from last year. So naturally, you know, it's hard to replace a lot of guys from teams that we've had last year when you're that successful. So, you know, our goal is to try to find, you know, guys that can fill roles. And I think we did that. You know, obviously it's worked well for us, but you know, right from day one, we've had a good core group, you know, 7-8 guys that returned, and, you know, that's a big thing for us is to have those guys in that leadership in the room, and it just kind of filters down through the younger guys that come in and the guys that are coming in, you know, from other teams and stuff like that that we've picked up over the course of the season. So, you know, anytime that happens, then you have good leadership, and my staff is second to none, and you know, it just resonates into wins, and we've been fortunate enough for that this year.
Yeah, and I should say too, you know, a product of having the kind of success the team did last year is you lose not only the guys that are now too old to play in the league, but you had, I think, 5 or 6 guys move up to the junior A level, and you know, that's just it's had a product of the success you had.
Yeah, I mean, the 6 guys we had go up and play junior A this year. I mean, you know, every year, you know, it's about winning and being successful as you can, but it's also at this level, it's the most important to me, and it shows, you know, our work that we put in for the guys and the work that they put in for themselves is for them to move on. And, you know, for our 6 guys to go up and none of them return, and actually all 6 players are big parts of their team. I mean, Tour and Coburg, you know, I think Rory Milne's in the top 3 in scoring on that team, and Kyle McFarland's right in mid-pack there doing his job. And, you know, and you got Nathan Schnook, who's in Winnipeg, who's doing, I think he's number 2 defenseman on that team out there. And Braden Kublik, who's gone and done real well with Lindsay and Chase Ruddy, who's, you know, he's filtered in on a pretty good hockey team in Trenton. You know, it speaks volumes for all of them. And, you know, that's what the goal is every year, is to get those young guys in, you know, have them 1 year and done, and prepare them for the next level and get them on to the next bigger and better thing.
Well, that definitely speaks to the caliber of your coaching, though, and the style of how you guys are running your team. Would you not agree?
I guess at some point you got to say that, I guess.
You got to take some credit, John, or Matt, rather. You know, you guys are obviously putting out some good product.
Well, you know, I thank you. I appreciate that, and you know, my staff, like John Foley and Jake Knuth, you know, and Ian Green, like, and you know, we've put it together, you know, a pretty decent program, and we work well together. And when you have guys that have different views of the game, and you can respect their views, and it really helps me, you know, as a head coach to make decisions. You know, at the end of the day, it's my final decision, but I got some guys there I can trust, and I know. I know what, when they say something that it means something, and it has value. So, you know, which helps the guys down the road too. It's not just one guy doing it. And I put a lot of onus on my staff, and they're just fantastic.
Well, it seems communications is obviously a big part of team building, right?
Yeah. I mean, coaching is managing people, right? And if you can manage people top to bottom, it's usually a pretty good recipe for the success.
What sort of challenges are you looking at going into the playoffs? Who are you keeping your eye on? I know you're going to play the Gananoque Islanders in the first round, but who sort of represents the biggest hurdle for you?
You know what? We don't look past. I know it's the old cliche, right? You just take one game at a time, and we're not looking past Gananoque. I mean, they're a team there that, in my opinion, underachieved this year, and that as far as fourth-place teams are concerned, I really believe that they're one of the best fourth place teams that would play in any of the leagues that in the junior C loop, and so they're going to be a real tough opponent. I mean, we've had our way with them for the most part, but they've also showed flashes of, you know, where we were kind of back on our heels. So, you know, that's our main focus. I mean, there's good teams: Napanee, Hammerstein, whoever comes out of that loop, and if we're fortunate enough to beat Gananoque, then, you know, obviously we got to be prepared for a tough battle that way. Central League, you know, there's some real good clubs there. So, I mean, we don't look past what we're doing right now, but, you know, you do have to be cognizant of what's going on around you, and we are, and we're well aware of those teams. And, you know, anybody that comes out of their loop or into the next round is always going to be a tough challenge.
How much do you think the team's success is based on fan support? I'm not sure what the turnout has been at some of the games, but I know as you're getting into the playoffs, obviously there's going to be a lot more emphasis from the fans on success. Is that something that's a key component to some of the victories you guys have had this season?
You know what? Our fan support's been great. I mean, as far as the junior C loop, you know, it's tough. You got to compete with Coburg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have, and it's a junior A product, and you know, so that's tough. But I mean, we have good crowds for our level. You know, obviously we'd always like to see more. I mean, I'm a coach. I always want more, right? So, last year in the playoffs, I mean, it was second to none. I mean, that support in that final game was just, you know, I still have nightmares about that game, to be honest with you. You know, just all I wanted, I didn't even care if we won. I was just like, get one goal so I can just hear this crowd explode and you know, and mm-hmm. whatever happens after that happens. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. We ran into a team that I thought just wanted just that little bit too, little more than we did and had been there before, too. So, but I mean, fan support is huge. And, you know, these kids, you know, especially the ones that are getting older and that, and really this is their NHL. Mm-hmm. I mean, that means the world to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fans we do have that come out are, you know, are fantastic. And we're lucky. I mean, we go to Napanee, we go to Amherstview, Gananoque, the parents go, but there's not just parents. There's a lot of fans that come to these away games. And a lot of times, you know, our fans outnumber the home team. So, you know, that's something to be said about the people of Port Hope and Coburg area.
Well, and it's the caliber of hockey. I mean, I often say to people, because I don't follow the NHL, and they go, why don't you follow the NHL? I said, look, you know, these guys have already made it to the big game. The ones that are good are going to be good. The ones that aren't are just phoning it in, as far as I'm concerned. If you want to see real hockey, it's the junior C, junior A level. These are the kids who, as you just said, you know, for some of these guys, this is their Stanley Cup, right? This is their NHL. They're not, you know, a lot of them are realistic. They're not going to go probably much further than this. But then you got, you know, like the six guys you had last season who do go that much further. So you can tell by the amount of energy and the tenacity of these players. And obviously that's driving some of the success for Port Hope.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially the guys who went through it last year. I mean, there's a certain level of focus at this point and throughout the season that I hadn't seen last year mm-hmm. until the end of the season, and I've seen it all year this year. You know, the old old school junior C mentality is no longer in our dressing room. We're lucky that way. I have a bunch of kids that have a winning attitude, and, you know, like, it's just a testament to their upbringing, you know, and their level of commitment to the team and, you know, what I like to call family, because, you know, you spend this much time with these guys, it is a family atmosphere for sure.
Well, I know you're working towards your postseason, and I wish you all the success in that. But is there anything that's changing this year? I mean, we talked about the changes from last year. Are there any things that are in the works that you can discuss that might be changing for next year?
You know what? They might be going into the four-man system in the Empire, which they haven't next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, other than that, it's pretty minute. There, you know, there's talks of different alignments as far as the leagues are concerned and different things. But I mean, it's really, at this point, there's nothing really to discuss. It's all hearsay, and you know, like I said, we're just mainly focused on what's going on right now. It's a huge grind from here on in. I mean, if we're lucky enough to play till May, you know, it's mentally and physically grueling, and you know, five rounds of hockey, and, you know, so that's going to take up our mental focus at this point.
Yeah, just talk, Matt, about what it's like to play. You know, once you do get out of your own league, and you hope to do that again, talk about what it's like to face team like the champions from other leagues, because that's what it comes down to in the small Scott playoffs. Is you're facing teams that won their own leagues, and talk about playing at that level, because you had to go through Clarington, Alliston, and then you faced Essex in the finals, and those are all teams that you could meet again this year. And what did you learn from that experience last year?
You know, one thing, take nothing for granted and always be prepared for change. You know, that was one thing that, you know, it was ever changing. And, you know, like you're used to, it's one thing to play the teams you play, you know, eight times a year each. You kind of get to know tendencies and that, and it's really fun as a coach and as staff to really pick apart the opposition when you've never played them before. And, you know, you get into a situation where you know you're putting things forth that you got to make sure that they got to kind of play to your game, and so it becomes a real chess match, especially after you get out of your own loop, and it's a lot of fun. It truly is a challenge, and it's something that, you know, last year for sure I'll cherish, and I'm just, you know, I'm really hoping this year that we continue our success and get to have that opportunity again.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier before you came on, Matt, you know, you guys had a bunch of, or a couple of lengthy streaks, I should say. 13-game winning streak, 17-game unbeaten streak. You know, those are no easy feats. You know, how did the team pull that off?
Well, you know what? Anytime through a course of season, there's a little bit of luck involved. And I don't mean luck by playing. I just, you know, injuries. You know, if there is injuries, who can fill those spots and make sure that they're prepared for that? And you know, that has a lot to do with the guys there. You know, one guy goes down, another guy comes up. You know, those are, you know, it's tough when you're winning. Like, I mean, we averaged 5 goals a game or plus a game against this year, but that's not a number that I really look at all that much. The number that I take pride in is the 72 goals against. We're under 2 goals against over the course of season. Mm-hmm. And to me, that, you know, that's the big thing. You know, you take care of your own end. You take care of the things that matter first, and everything else kind of comes with it. And you know, that's what we did over those courses of the time, and it resonated into wins.
The only other thing I wanted to ask is, you know, there were some challenging years for the Panthers, but, you know, when you guys have, you know, been at the helm, you've had a lot of success. What is it that, you know, what approach do you and your staff take in building this program?
You know what? First and foremost, professionalism. We talk about it's their NHL. Mm-hmm. Well, it's my NHL too. Whatever level I coach at, it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, minor hockey, you know, junior A, junior C, whatever. It's about being professional. And if you treat it as a job, so to speak, but mm-hmm. it, having it be fun, mm-hmm. and you create that positive atmosphere, I mean, it just kind of, it filters. And, you know, it's funny, like you put that in place, and it doesn't happen overnight, but you put it in place and you continue to preach it, and all of a sudden, you know, you start to have small successes, a win here, a win there, an overtime win. Then it starts, the guys start to believe in it a bit. And then when they start to believe in it, all of a sudden then they start policing it themselves. You know, a guy's slacking off. Well, I don't have to get upset with them or remind them. Somebody on the team is. And there's no bigger sheriff, so to speak, in the room than one of your peers. And if he's telling you to get your butt in gear, you know, you better. It's not just somebody from above mm-hmm. yelling at you or giving you a heck. It's your peer. And you know, when that starts to filter down through, it's a pretty amazing thing to watch as a coach. And you know, basically, they end up coaching themselves, really.
Well, like you said a moment ago, if you're doing what you love, it's not really work, is it?
No, and you know what? That's the first thing I ask the guy. You know, and I do a little bit of interviews before every year when I bring guys in. Mm-hmm. I do my homework on them, and I'm like, do you love to play hockey? And if the answer is yes, or, you know, if they hesitate, then there's a flag that goes up in my mind. And because, you know, you say what you want, they're all kids. Mm-hmm. Whether they're 21 or 16, they're kids. And if you can't have fun playing a game that we all love, then at the end of the day, it's not worth playing.
Right. Well, I want to thank you for your time, and thank you for giving us a call here. On the line has been Matt Goody. He is the coach of the Port Hope Panthers. And anything last words other than good luck and onto the beginning of this first round? Any final words, Matt?
Well, you know what? Just this. We're going to give everything we have from top to bottom. We got a great group of kids, and you know what? They need our support, and the fan support is going to be huge, like we spoke about. Mm-hmm. And the more people that come out, I think the better that it's going to resonate. And the longer we go, you know, the caliber of play goes up, and it's pretty amazing to watch. And I think people that haven't seen it before and come out to it, I think they're amazed at how good the caliber of hockey is, and how much it means to these kids, and how much it means to the community. And it really does. And it means a lot to me as a person and my staff as well, and the ownership.
Well, thank you very much. And thanks for being with us again today. And good luck. Wish you all the best with Gananoque.
Thanks, fellas. We'll hopefully we're talking sometime soon when we're winning.
Absolutely. Thanks again. Nice. Bye-bye now. Alrighty, well, that's going to bring it to pretty much the close of our show here, folks. You have been listening to The Drive Time right here on Northumberland 89.7. We've been talking hockey. We've been talking lacrosse, hockey, lacrosse. Here's Tom, Stompin' Tom Connors with the hockey song as we take you out to the top of the hour. I'm Dave Glover. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow.
How hello out there. We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.